This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for joining and staying with us in this Stars off season. We have a great program today. Our Stars and NHL insider, Sean Shapiro, will join us in just a second. Boy, what crazy weather we had over the weekend. Sunday, my flight was delayed 5 hours. And then I look back in Tucson, Arizona, and Arizona in general, it was 108 to 110 degrees already. And you know what? That weather's coming to DFW at some point. We're going to hit that 95, 100. Oh my God, I can't go outside today. So that's why the time is now to make sure that your AC unit is high efficient. And the on-time experts, our friends, they support us even in the off season. They want to take care of you, specifically if you're a first time customer, because they want to win you over as a customer for life. $59 first time customer special. And like I said, 4.8 out of 5 stars with nearly 6,000 reviews. I've used them multiple times. I love them. I love their efficiency. I love how they show me the work they've done via video and also via the notes that they took. I love the extra effort they put in. Two quick examples for you. They had to climb over my HVAC unit, which isn't easy, in an attic to get to a specific part to make sure that it was still working properly. That's pretty awesome. Second part, could have just said, yeah, just keep using your air filter. They said, Gavin, that air filter you use, sure, it works good, but there are better options out there. And I said, oh, okay. And they said, you know what? Let's go on Amazon because I think it's cheaper. And we found that air filter. So my HVAC unit is as efficient as it can get. And that's because of the on-time experts. They also have a $99 first-time customer plumbing special. So get those drains cleaned, right? So you are feeling good as the summer months roll along. They're the official sponsor of the Dallas Stars and Spits and Suds. They love supporting local hockey, so let's support them. The On-Time Experts at theontimeexperts.com. And we bring in the greatness of Sean Shapiro. A lot of hockey going on right now. Sean, where is your focus right now before we get into your big article that broke on D Magazine regarding Jamie Benn?
Yeah, watched the Colorado-Minnesota game on TV last night. I'm getting ready for a couple weeks from now. I'm headed out to Kelowna to a couple weeks from now. We'll be doing this. Well, I'd love to do a couple live shows with you from Kelowna for the Memorial Cup in a couple weeks. So that's on the radar. draft season's right around the corner, so we got kind of that. You and I have talked about it before, but PWHL is always intriguing to me on where things are going with that. So yeah, we've got a good amount of stuff going here. I'm pretty thrilled to be here to chat about any and all of it, and it's kind of cool that we can keep having these conversations, Gavin.
Yeah, a couple good articles coming from you. Before we get to the Jamie Benn, since you mentioned Memorial Cup, that has to do with junior hockey. You wrote, Indra, Cato Rourke will play for the U16 Toronto Junior Canadians. Cato Rourke, for those that don't know, has a lot of Texas ties, grew up a Texas Stars fan. Sean has known the O'Rourke family for a long time. Their decision to play in Toronto next year, what went into that?
Yeah, so for the quick backstory here, for those who those who don't know, O'Rourke from Round Rock, Texas, applied for exceptional status to the OHL based off his play. From what I saw and what a lot of other people have seen, seemed like he probably should be, to get that exceptional status granted, he would have been the 10th player, first American-born player to get it, he would have been. Sean Day was a dual citizen when he got it, but O'Rourke Cade would have been the first, I guess, non-dual citizen, fully non-Canadian, to get exceptional status. And the Hockey Canada decided not to grant the status, something the OHL was actually quite disappointed with. They still invited him to their draft showcase. So he's going to continue to play in Toronto next year for the Toronto Junior Canadians, 16U level. There was some interest from the USHL potentially. The big deal for O'Rourke, and this is the thing that is just kind of noteworthy, is he wants to stick with the OHL path, even though Hockey Canada denied the exceptional status push. He and his family are big believers that the OHL is the best development path for him, and that's why sticking with playing in the Toronto area, GTHL, Greater Toronto Hockey League, it's called. He'll be a top five pick, maybe top pick in the OHL draft next spring, and that's kind of why he's sticking with that. It's interesting because if he had played, Gavin, if he had the CHL, and we're going down a path that might confuse some of our listeners, but that's fine. We've got the Canadian Hockey League runs the Western Hockey League, the Ontario Hockey League, and the Quebec. It's no longer the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. It's actually right. The Quebec Maritime Junior Hockey League now. But the WHL has a rule where because they do a bantam draft, they do their draft 1 year earlier. I think it's like 27 or 28 games where you can play part of the season in the WHL as an underager, which is why the WHL doesn't have nearly as much exceptional status stuff that comes into play, because exceptional status is just granting for the full year. And so if Cade is Texas is WHL territory, but because he has lived in Ontario since he's 11 and established residency there, he's OHL territory now. And so if he had been in the WHL territory, he might have been able to play in the WHL for part of the season next year. So it's an interesting kind of wrinkle there. But either way, player that is obviously we've talked quite a bit about on this show. We know him from a local hockey perspective, and someone who from a GTHL perspective, for a lot of other teams, this kid had, I think it was like 48 points in 28 games as a defenseman this year as an underager in the GTHL. And now he's going to have a dominant year for that at that level this year. And it's the great question, Gavin, of when you're looking at player development and you want to keep moving kids up and everything like that. But there's also part of learning to dominate a level, which I think is something that sometimes gets lost on people when you see someone. Like, I think that time, to use it to an NHL comparable, when you see someone in the AHL and they go through and have dominant play in the AHL, there's something about learning to control the game. And that can be part of development as well. So rambly there. I promise to keep it a little cleaner going forward, but yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, I have one more question about juniors that I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks now, and it's Stars related, because Stars prospect Cameron Schmidt was traded to Victoria for the 7th overall pick of the WHL draft, and he's putting up amazing numbers, but Sean, this is his third team, Vancouver to Seattle and now to Victoria. Is this just commonplace in junior hockey to be trades like this?
Yeah, so like one of the things about junior hockey and how things move around is you have limited windows, right? And so for Schmidt, he's someone who Vancouver, Seattle, now Victoria, teams, you try to go all in, and there's different cycles of making the most of players. It's like they don't know with what Schmidt did this year, right? He had 100 points in like 68 combined games or whatever. A little bit of risk there. Like, I don't think he's going to be playing pro hockey for the Stars organization next year, but a little bit of risk there for Victoria that he might. It's the whole concept of if you have an expiring free agent, do you hold on to them or do you try to get some long-term value? And that happens a lot in junior hockey with that math and calculus for GMs, where you make the decision of, you know what, hey, we're going to go for it this year or we're not going to go for it this year. So it's time to kind of make a move to open up, to kind of get some other future assets.
No, that makes sense. That's why he joins the program. So, he can explain these things. All right. The article that dropped today from Sean on D Magazine, Sean tweets out, there are 31 teams that Jamie Benn could help next season. The Stars happen to be the 32nd on the Stars' stubbornness and unwillingness to make the tough choice, and how the Stars now need Benn to save them from themselves. We've talked about this on the program. Sean, tell us the inspiration to kind of write this article, and pretty much has a common theme that, you know, Jamie Benn, for the Stars' benefit, might be better off going elsewhere.
Yeah, and I want to give a ton of credit to my editor over at D Magazine, Mike Pellucci, because I went and I penned this and sent him the draft yesterday, and he went through it and said, hey, this is great. And then he called me and he said, hey, just making sure, because I know this is and I'm not afraid to put my name or attach anything to it, but I want to give a ton of credit to Mike for being a for having the understanding of this is not the type of thing that is, it's easy for anyone. It's easy to go and say, hey, Jamie Benn should be gone, if you are a fan or a media member that doesn't cover the Stars. It's another thing to be a bit blunt, Gavin, that, and I'm not taking risks or anything like that. I've always stood by my stances on things, but like, I know that this is something where there's people that this will piss off some people, and that's fine. Sure. There's people in the organization this will piss off, and there's team players and some of Jamie's teammates that this will piss off. And that's something that next time I interact with them or handle myself, I have to be able to answer for that. So Mike, give credit to my editor, Mike Pellucci, for calling me and yesterday and being like, just talking that part out. We've talked about it on this show, and sometimes you go through and you sit down and you write and you realize what needs to be said as the proverbial pen hits the paper, right? Like, I guess, or the digital text clickety clacks onto the screen or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, there's a mirror, right? I think part of the, like, I'm an unbiased media member. as unbiased as I can be. Obviously, this job and is a little bit more entertaining when the team you're covering is winning and doing well. This show is more fun when we have playoff games to cover. Like, let's be honest about it. But part of the job of media, I think, is sometimes to look in the mirror when the team themselves won't do it, right? And I think that's the biggest problem the Stars have right now with this whole Jamie Benn situation. We talked about it after the last game. And then you go and you look at the evidence that there's a problem here that you need to tackle. And it was important for me, and I really encourage anyone listening or anyone who sees the tweet or the post to please read the story through, because it is, if you just read the tweet, I'm sure someone's going to say it's a hit piece. I'm sure someone's going to say that, and whatever. I'm ready for someone to say that, and I will gladly tell them, hey, please read the article, because I think Jamie Benn could be the next Corey Perry. And yeah. I believe that, and I mean that positively. Corey Perry has gone and carved out another 7 or 8 years of his career by being that vigilante menace that can go and play into his early 40s. I think Jamie could do that, but he can't do it in Dallas. He can't do it where the coach has so much faith in him, has so much belief that he's on the ice in the 6-on-5 at the end of a game with your season on the line. These are the things where you have to realize that there are different circumstances. Like, Gavin, if this was a video game world with no emotions and it was just, hey, we plug in 12 players with video game ratings and everything, and there's no emotions and there's no dynamics like that, yeah, Jamie's back. Like, if you're playing NHL 27 or whatever, bring Jamie Benn back, because that's a video game world. This isn't a video game world. There's too much history and human ties here that, frankly, are keeping the Stars back. And, like, I want to give Jim credit. Jim's done a great job when it comes to moving and advancing the Stars' contention window over and over again. There was the way that he's moved on from John Klingberg before, the way he moved things into the Wyatt Johnston window, the way that he moved on from Jason Spezza when it was time, the way that he had been able to kind of keep the stack windows on top of windows has been so impressive, and why Jim has done such a great job with this franchise and why they've played so many playoff games and why they've been so good. But you're clinging too hard to an old window now with Jamie Benn that you're potentially muddling it for your future ones.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a really well thought out article, and I would encourage people, you need to read it, because it's not a hit piece. And it talks about how great Jamie's been for the organization. So kudos to D Magazine, Stick Tap to Mike Pellucci and the crew that have you, Robert, David Castillo. I mean, they've really put a concentration into hockey, and hopefully it's paying off for them. So I love supporting D Magazine.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I wanted to talk about this. NHL trade rumors has follows. And basically, the tweet said the following, and someone tagged me on it. Could the San Jose Sharks actually flip the second overall pick to the Dallas Stars for Jason Robertson with a weak UFA market and Dallas facing a brutal salary cap crunch? This blockbuster makes shocking sense. Here's what I had an issue with, Sean. The next statement, is Robertson worth the number two pick? And someone asked me about this, and I said, he's averaged 89 points in his 5 full seasons, with 3 of those seasons, 40 plus goals. If you get a player that puts up those numbers with pick number two, as a general manager, Sean, you're over the moon happy, right? If you get a player like Jason Robertson. So I just think I personally, like, if you want to do it for cap space, you know, if there are different reasons, but to say, is the second pick worth losing over Jason Robertson? I mean, have some respect on Jason Robertson.
Well, yeah. And it's like, I understand the sentiment of
people get really enamored in with draft classes, right? And we know Toronto's got the number one pick, and it's a big debate right now. Is it going to be Carson Carroll's, Ivor Stenberg, Gavin McKenna going number one, right? If you are like, if you're this, if you're going to tell me that, and I see so much draft stuff, right? Like Jason Robertson is a, like Jason is now how old? I want to make sure he's 26, right?
Yeah.
He's 26. He's a proven he's a proven century mark goal scorer. And is going to sign, you're going to have him for 27, 20. Like if you saw, if this was a trade you would be making, you'd be getting him for 8 years, probably.
Right.
And you're getting him to his early, into his mid thirties, and his game is going to age well in my view. So like, yeah, like I don't understand I guess sometimes people kind of get so caught up in the beauty of like, hey, what is the, would I trade him for the number one overall pick? I don't know, because that's a lot of, like, I think Gavin McKenna is going to be really damn good in the long run. Now, I guess it's the question for, if you're San Jose, is would I trade? Let's talk through this, Gavin, because the timing of this is interesting. What if Toronto overthinks? If you're San Jose, and this is where the second overall pick conversation comes into play, I think there's a lot of really good players in this draft. There's a lot of really good ones that can, but if Gavin McKenna is available, I would not trade Gavin McKenna for Jason Robertson. Gavin McKenna is a younger version of Jason Robertson, okay, in my mind. Younger version of Jason Robertson, elite winger, going to be 100-point guy in the NHL. That's what Gavin McKenna is going to be in the NHL. Mm-hmm. In my mind, if Toronto overthinks this and takes Ivor Stenberg, all of a sudden the Stars are happily making the trade for Gavin McKenna for Jason Robertson with what that does for your cap.
Right.
But if Toronto does what they should, and I think they will, then you're happily, then Robertson is incredible value for the second round pick. So that's where second overall pick. That's where this kind of gets a little bit kind of confusing on all of this. I also think the other part of this whole Jason Robertson thing is you hear about the Stars cap crunch and everything like that. And it does exist, right? They do have a cap crunch and everything like that. But if you really think the Stars are going to work, like if you really think the Stars are going to let Ilya Lyubushkin or Radek Fox or Stamp Steele's contract stop them from keeping Jason Robertson, you are out to lunch.
Yes.
They are going to figure out Jason Robertson's deal. They're going to figure out Jason Robertson's deal and then make the other moves to open up the space and make those moves. Like Radek Fox is a prime candidate to be moved. Just the reality of it. Yep. It might be a little difficult, but you could move Lyubushkin. These moves are not what people think they are. So that's important to me to bring up here. So, and Jason Robertson's value is going to be fascinating. Is he going to be a $12 million player like Mikko Rantanen? Is he going to be a $13 million player? Personally, I don't have a problem if Jason Robertson's a $13 million player, because I think with what the cap's going to be in a couple years, it's going to be, that's him getting more of what his market value should be. So then you move Radek Foxa, you find a way to part with Sam Steele. You do something like that. So if you're San Jose, you should be doing backflips. If you could get Jason Robertson on the wing with Macklin Celebrini, like, good Lord.
I know.
Just seriously. Right.
Yeah.
Like that is, if you have a Celebrini Robertson pairing, would be the NHL's best line for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
So, of course, I would trade the second pick for that.
I do think there is something that some people, they might not notice because they don't watch Stars on a regular basis. Like, I personally saw a lot of improvements and a lot of attempts for improvements in Robertson's game. Fitting the style of a Glenn Gullitson play. I thought he was much more physical this year. I thought he was stronger. And the whole thing, like, we forget, everyone was like, well, Jason Robertson can't score in the playoffs, and yet he was the best goal scorer against Edmonton in the Western Conference Finals, and look what he did this year. So I think we can flip the script and maybe say that Jason Robertson's probably the best goal scorer for the Stars as of recent, playoffs. So I just, the narrative to me, and Sean, I wanted to ask you this, because sometimes do we get enamored Celebrini, McKenna, McDavid, McKinnon, they're all amazing players, but they have that speed and that elusiveness. And maybe Jason Robertson gets penalized because he's not one of those guys.
I have compared Jason Robertson to a less brash version of Brett Hull.
Yeah.
In my mind, where he is someone who he does the, what's the most, how do we decide who wins the game? So at the end of the day, goal scoring is the most important thing, right? He does the most important thing in the game. He scores a lot of damn goals. And so I think his game doesn't, he's not a highlight reel player, and that's fine. And I thought his game, I personally think his game took a lot of steps this year in the playoffs. Like, so I'm a big believer that Jason Robertson's game is going to age well. I think once he's signed, I think you get good piece. I just think you have to understand who Jason is. He's not going to be the rah-rah guy. He's going to be the iPad kid on the bench who watches his shift and then takes that data in and does it and goes about it the right way. As long as you know who Jason Robertson is, if you think about him as your Brett Hull equivalent of, hey, we got a guy who can put up 100 points and can score at any time, any shift could be the goal. That's how you have to look at him. And that's more valuable than a lot of people want to give him. Now, we can have the other discussion about other things, like this whole Robertson discourse, and Robert and I, to tease a little bit, Robert and I are going to have some more Robertson discussion tomorrow on Algorithmically Incorrect about it. But this discourse has just turned people crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's the whole concept of people saying, like, there's the rumor mongering about Brady Tkachuk for Jason Robertson. Would you make that trade? I definitely would be open to having that discussion. But the amount of people who are trying to completely discount what Brady Tkachuk is has been hilarious to me, right? Like, there's been so many people who are like treating Brady Tkachuk like he's Radek Foxa.
Yeah.
Brady Tkachuk is a over point per game scorer in Four Nations, Olympics, and IIHF events. Did he have a subpar playoffs and they get bodied in the playoffs? Yes. But put Brady Tkachuk on a team as good as the Stars?
Yeah.
Probably a 100-point guy. Just calling it what it is. So.
Yeah. Nope. That's great. All right. Let's end with this, because this is fascinating. And Sean, as we know, is an elite beer league goaltender. Elite. As the Anchors are crushing it this year. Looking for what? Cup number 6 or 7? Or
I am actually, I don't know how many we've won.
Oh.
I say that in the, oh. Like, I'm not trying to be humble, but like,
it's been even Florian Wieser over in Italy knows how many cups he's won, Sean.
Yeah. We lost in the semis last season. So there's always a bit of that retribution needed right now. So
I love talking goaltending with you. I have a fondness for it, and I'm fascinated because if you look at the team still in it, Colorado, Minnesota, Buffalo, Montreal, Anaheim, Vegas, and who am I missing? I'm missing Carolina. Why am I drawing a blank on this? But the bottom line is the elite goaltending, as far as name-wise, like, when you look, it's interesting because Anderson getting it done in Carolina, Montreal with a rookie goaltender, Buffalo rotating goaltenders, Anaheim with Staal, that's a very good story, but still kind of came out of, you know, nowhere, not a relatively known name. Vegas with Carter Hart, Colorado rotating goaltenders, Minnesota going back and forth on goaltender. I'm not saying these goaltenders are bad, but it's not like we're seeing a Hellebuck, a Ottinger, a Shesterkin, or, you know, just go down the Jeremy Swayman, names like that. We're just not seeing that this year.
Yeah, it's more so of, and then Jacob Dobish in Montreal is obviously the great story.
Yes.
Like 6 or 7 years ago, he was playing high school hockey in Missouri, which is a fascinating story. But the, so yeah, the big name, big money guys, and Dostal, though, in Anaheim, I will push back on Dostal. He's one where, like, they knew he was the guy, yep. Right? They traded John Gibson away to knowing he was the guy. He got the contract extension. But yeah, a lot of teams winning either story, basically legacies are being written or guys are emerging in a lot of ways. And that makes things a lot of fun, right? The Colorado series, we see them go from Scott Wedgwood to Mackenzie Blackwood for game four last night. It goes to the, it goes back and forth to the kind of the logic of, for me, and will be interesting to diagnose at the end of this, because whoever wins the cup, there's a pretty good chance whoever wins the cup this year will probably have played. There's pretty good odds they'll have used multiple goalies in the postseason. There's pretty good odds of that. There was at least a heavy timeshare during the regular season. And that goes back to the past couple years, right? Where last year, obviously, Bobrovsky played every game in the postseason last year. But 2 years ago, there was a bit more of the body of work was less. Aiden Hill, when Vegas won, they used three goalies when they won before that. Colorado, the reality here is, I think the position is evolving in.
Is it like a running back where it might change in the future, but are we seeing, I hate to use this term, Sean, because I don't want anyone to take offense, but the devaluing of the goaltender, in other words, if we have a real solid goaltender but really good defense, that could be the key.
So not devaluing. The big thing is the gap is smaller now, right? Like, okay. the gap has never been smaller, I think, between starter and backup means, right? Like, it used to be Marty Turker was so much better than his backups. Let's just call that what it, right? Like, the gap has never been smaller, so it makes sense from an energy reason to use those assets, right? The game, the position has also become more physically difficult with the way, especially with the post integration now, the way that goalies slam their hips into the posts. RVH is a dirty word that people use all the time. They think about post play, but the way that kind of difficulty of the position has made wear and tear more prevalent if you play a ton of games. And then I think it's kind of I'm actually going to write something about it probably for later this week over at Chapshots, is we go from this kind of tandem system in the regular season now. And I have some thoughts about this after we had Bruce Boudreau on last week, cause he kind of brought this up and it's been noodling around in my head on this as well. We go from the regular season to the playoffs, where these guys have never been asked to play 20 straight games, right? So you go from a reality where, hey, you're used to playing
four or five games in a row, then the backup gets in, four or five games in a row, then the backup gets in, getting a rest every so often too. Hey, now I need you 24 straight games if we're going to win this whole thing. And yeah, that's a hard ramp up. And I wonder if we kind of keep going further and further on down the line of coaches realizing not the full-blown baseball series, Gavin, where you have and I'm mumbling a little bit because I'm thinking about writing as we're talking at the same time here, so I apologize to my critics who want to. But do we get to the spot in hockey where it's not a bad idea to go into a series with scheduled starters?
Yeah.
Like, just like in baseball, right? Obviously, not going to be like in baseball where you use five, but you go into a series and be like, hey, we're going to give this from a Stars perspective. Hey, we're going to go into this. We were going to that Minnesota series. Hey, Jake's got game one and two. Casey's got game three. No matter what, Jake's back in net for game four.
Right. Well, and it's factual. It's not a, you know, a theory or you and I throwing out opinion that players notice who's in goal. And a lot of times things tighten up when different goaltenders are in net.
Correct. 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, Colorado did it last night. I don't think it was anything against Wedgwood, but you know, Blackwood came up big. So,
I was talking to a good friend who's a Colorado fan, and he was bringing that up, and he's like, I felt really harsh to Wedgwood to after what he'd done. And I'm like, I get that, but also at the same time, there's a reality here that you have to make sure you win the game, right? You have to make sure, like, I would not be surprised if Scott Wedgwood does play another game for Colorado. He'd probably go back to Blackwood for the closeout game in game five, but don't be surprised if Wedgwood gets the net again. Like, I think that's kind of looking at the hockey world in a new reality.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Sounds like Sean's got some great stuff coming up, and that's why you have to subscribe to his Shap Shots. That's his Substack. Just a few dollars a month, guys, and you're going to get great articles. I enjoy the experience myself. He also writes for Elite Prospects. Support D Magazine. Check out, you can go to at Sean Shapiro on Twitter, and you can see his link to his article. Let's get those hits and page views up for D Magazine. Great article on Jamie Benn, and as Sean and I have both said, you need to read it to understand it. Don't go by necessarily the headline. Not that the headline's bad, but people can jump to conclusions. That's not the case. A terrifically penned article from Sean in D Magazine. So, a lot of good stuff coming up, including a new episode of one of my favorite YouTube channels, Algorithmically Incorrect, with my guys, Sean Shapiro and Robert Tiffin, tomorrow. So more Jason Robertson talk with the guys tomorrow. Sean, you got a lot going on, man. It never stops for Sean Shapiro.
No, it's fun, though. It's fun. Like, I enjoy it. I truly believe I don't work for a living, Gavin.
That's great.
I get to have, this is chatting with you and having the opportunity to talk hockey with you, to do some writing, to basically kind of live a dream. So I want to just take the quick time here on a random Tuesday to say thank you to everyone who listens to this show. Thank you to anyone who reads, because it really is pretty damn cool that I get to do this, and I don't ever take that for granted. So thank you.
Yeah. And special thanks to one of our special listeners, Wasico. Sometimes you get people that ask, like, hey, I want to listen to some new hockey podcasts. And he mentioned Spits and Suds. That's always nice. Thank you guys for spreading the good word. I appreciate it. Sean's got some big stuff coming up, so please support his efforts. His Substack is terrific, like I said, and go and support his D Magazine and subscribe to that YouTube channel, Algorithmically Incorrect. Sean, look forward to talking with you again, maybe after they haven't come out yet with the Manson suspension, right? Or the fine. I'm guessing it might be a fine.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. It's going to be interesting, won't it?
That was a very, I have to say, with all the hockey I watch, haven't seen that one before.
It was also interesting just the way all of that was kind of, the way part of that was delivered, was to hear PK Subban being part of the interview about
hey, this guy's a dirty player or not, was the irony was not lost on me.
Yeah. Well said. That is very well said. Love having Sean on the program. Love having Gregory Finley as the producer. Special thanks to the on-time experts, as always, for their help as well. For Sean and Greg, I'm Gavin of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting Spits and Suds. Spread the word, everyone. Until our next off-season episode, have a great day, everyone.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.